This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It is Health and Living, and today's topic is which COVID-19 vaccine is safe for pregnant and breastfeeding women. Last week, the Special Committee for Ensuring Access to COVID-19 Vaccine Supply, better known as the JKJAV, confirmed which COVID-19 vaccines are suitable for pregnancy and breastfeeding women in Malaysia. So we're checking in with consultant obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Premita Damodaran to understand some of these recommendations. Welcome to the show, Dr. Premita. How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very well, Dr. Premita. I mean, how are you feeling right now? I mean, our numbers are high. Yesterday, it was disheartening to read about the death toll. I mean, it was the highest.
I don't look at the numbers so much. I look at the death rates, and yesterday was scary.
Yeah.
I think we had over 120 deaths, and that's alarming because, you know, we were at single digits months ago, and now we climbed to double digits, we hit 100, and now we're hitting 120 and above. And that's what's really scary, because that means that many of these men and women, or boys and girls, are coming in towards the end or at late stage, and then we don't have the time, or they're too serious for us to treat.
Yeah. You know, how are your pregnant women doing? I'm sure you're seeing them. I mean, they still have to come for the appointments. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety as well.
A lot of it. I mean, a lot of my pregnant women, I think I've already sort of spoken to them a lot about COVID and how to handle it. And no one wants to get COVID in pregnancy. So a lot of them are actually being very careful. But we can be careful and we can be careful. But, you know, we can't be that careful that we can prevent it altogether. So that's why a lot of them are actually now being very open and asking me about the vaccines, how safe it is. And, you know, here I am, I'm very pro-vaccine, and I'm going all out to try and get my patients who are pregnant and who have, you know, who are now post-delivery and who are now breastfeeding into the vaccination plan, because I think that is really very important. Every woman, because I'm an obstetrician and a gynecologist, so I'm going to cite my women and I'm going to say all of them need to get vaccinated.
So if you have a question for Dr. Premita, give us a call. The phone lines are open. It's 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, just, you know, I remember doing a show a couple of months back, Dr. Premita, where I spoke with two other ladies who, you know, are leading in this area, one of which was from the UK. And we spoke about how pregnant women should, people who are breastfeeding should get vaccinated. However, there's more developments now as to which vaccine you should be getting, which is a discussion we didn't really have a few months ago, right? Developments as far as this virus and these vaccines are concerned, just developing every day, isn't it? I mean, we still don't know. We still don't know so much, right?
Well, I don't think we will know for a long time, but everything is actually going in the right direction. I mean, of course, you're going to hear these anecdotal stories here and there. WhatsApp groups will go, you know, haywire with all sorts of false information. You know, so I think it's good to have to do this on evidence-based. Now, one of the first things that we do know is that all the vaccines, to be very honest, are safe for pregnancy and breastfeeding. And as we go on and on, we know that we are getting to know that more. Now, to be very honest, the vaccines have not been with us for very long. If you look at the Pfizer vaccine, it's been with us for maybe 6 months, and the AZ has been with us for maybe about 4 to 5 months. So as we go along, and as we get more and more men and women vaccinated, we are actually learning from that crowd. And when we learn more from that crowd, we tighten up our regulations as we go along. So that's why sometimes last week's story is not what we are going to say next week, because we are also learning on the job. Now, broadly, I can tell you that all the vaccines are actually safe. But when one is pregnant, then we look at it a little bit more differently. Now, very important for us to understand about these vaccines. Now, a vaccine is not going to prevent you from getting COVID 100%. So the reason for the vaccine is, of course, we want to cut down the risk of ourselves getting COVID. We want to make sure that for some reason we do get COVID, it's not the serious COVID. And the third very important thing is we do not want, so if we get the vaccine in, you know, it helps us not transfer COVID to somebody else. We want to cut down that risk of infecting somebody else. So that's really very important. Pregnancy, you are already in a different sort of hemodynamic status. You know, a pregnant woman automatically thinks of her baby first. She's lost in that picture. She always, even to take paracetamol for fever, I would get calls in the clinic, can take a doctor, you know, I've got a urine infection, can take antibiotics. And I say, yes, please take, because by taking it, you're actually doing yourself a favor rather than hurting your baby. So it's automatic. A pregnant woman would automatically think about her baby and think, my God, I'm going to get this vaccine in. Is it safe for my baby? So that's what she's going to think. But let's look at history. We've been taking vaccines in pregnancy anyway. So flu vaccine can be given anytime in pregnancy. And we all know that the tetanus vaccine is the famous vaccine that's been gone, you know, it's been going on for some time. And now we have the tetanus diphtheria pertussis vaccine that comes in the third trimester. So it's not actually something new. But what's new is the fact that fear of the fact that this is a new type of vaccine and it has not been actually studied very much. But we shouldn't be scared about it, because most of these vaccines now, if you look at it, let's look at Pfizer. The Pfizer vaccine has actually been given to all the pregnant healthcare workers all around the world, including Malaysia. And that's a huge number. And what do we know? Not a single vaccine-related problem that has happened in the pregnancy. Not a single vaccine-related death or an abnormality to the child. So in that way, we can get data as we go along, knowing that these vaccines are actually safe. So in this country, for pregnancy, we are recommending Pfizer. The AZ is because of the fact that we do know that sometimes in pregnancy, the way our blood clots is a little bit different. Now, there's been a lot of stories about AZ and blood clots. What we have come to know today is that the way the AZ blood clots, which, let me first say that AZ is a very good vaccine. let me just say that. And the risk of the clot is like 0.0004, okay? So the AZ vaccine, because of the fact that it even has that 0.0004% chance of having a clot, we don't want to bring that in during a pregnancy. The way the clots happen might be completely different, but you just don't want to take that chance. However, in during the breastfeeding months, you're fine. Go ahead with it. So, in this country, when a woman is breastfeeding, she's allowed to take the AZ, she's allowed to take the Pfizer as of today. Now, the latest data that's come in from WHO about the Sinovac, huge phase 3 trials, is looking very, very promising. And the risk of, and there is hardly any risk to the pregnant mother. So the pregnant mother and the breastfeeding mother can actually take the Sinovac. So I wouldn't be surprised that in the coming months or in the weeks that are coming, that we would again change that to allow pregnant and breastfeeding mums to take Sinovac. We just have to give it some time to see what the authorities actually say.
So the guidelines in the country now is Pfizer if you're pregnant and breastfeeding, AZ if you are breastfeeding, Sinovac not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, we need, I think, let them clear that data within the internal channels and then come out with guidelines.
So the basis for some of these vaccines deemed unsuitable for pregnant and breastfeeding women is just, with AZ, we know it's a blood clotting thing, 4 in 1,000,000. But with something like Sinovac, for an example, it's just that it hasn't been tried enough. Is that what you're saying?
No, but I think, as I said now with the phase 3 trials and the results that have come in, these are huge trials. And with very good data that shows that there is almost, I think it is 100%. It cuts down the risk of hospital admissions by 100%. It cuts down the risk of serious COVID by 100%. So that's fantastic data. Because at the end of the day, whatever vaccine, we want everyone vaccinated and we want to get that herd immunity in. And with data like this that's coming out, I think we should not be scared about taking Sinovac and should go all out to take anything that comes your way.
Okay. We're talking about COVID-19 vaccines and pregnancy as well as breastfeeding mums. If you have a question for Dr. Premitha, give us a call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. You know, let's talk about if you don't get vaccinated, Dr. Premitha, and if a woman is COVID-19 positive, what's the risk of transmission of the disease to the baby during the pregnancy? And even after birth, right? What are those chances?
Now, isn't pregnancy so wonderful? Because you know what? The baby is so protected inside there. And around the world, data has come in that even if a mum has COVID-19 ongoing, her risk of transmission is 1 in 50, 50. It is really so small. And because of that, we are actually... we actually feel very happy about it because we can confidently tell our patients, look after yourself, don't worry, the baby will be protected by the whole nature's process. And our worry actually is not during pregnancy, our worry is after that. And again, as I keep telling my patients who deliver with me, you know what, I've looked after you so well in pregnancy and you've delivered, everything is okay, now you're going home. And guess what? Everyone is going to come and see that baby. And that's where trouble comes in, because the natural reaction would be to pick up that baby, kiss the baby, hug the baby. And this might be well-meaning aunties, uncles, cousins, and everyone around. And what the stats actually show is that's how newborn babies get infected with COVID. You know, after delivery, most times it is due to contact with COVID positive patients. So pregnancy protects your baby, but after birth, you need to look after your baby. So practicing the fact that, you know, don't let any visitors come in, social distancing, washing your hands, and all the other features are very, very important. Because here is a baby now who is so small, immunity not built up yet, and you need to protect that child very well.
Even if you're vaccinated, right?
Even if you're vaccinated, because again, it's not 100%, isn't it?
Yep. What about transmitting the virus through breast milk, Dr. Premitha? If the mother is COVID-19 positive and she's breastfeeding, can you actually safely breastfeed your child?
So let's look at Malaysian guidelines. And when the guidelines first came out, what we did was when we looked at the guidelines, we did not want to breastfeed directly. Okay, so the guidelines in this country said that once a COVID positive mother delivers a baby, we actually separate the baby from the mother for that 14 days. And during that time, the mother is not allowed to breastfeed the baby. After which, she can start breastfeeding the baby. Okay? So now, the COVID positive mothers. First of all, you don't want to become positive during labor, because the Malaysian guidelines again is very strict. If you're positive during labor, it is a straight C-section, because again, we are looking at protection of the healthcare personnel, we're looking at cutting down transmission risk. So it would be a straight C-section. After C-section, you're not going to see your baby for 14 days. So all the more you need to get vaccinated so that, you know, all these things don't happen. Yeah. And that separation, as I said just now, you could just express and dump it until that 14 days are over, and then you could breastfeed your baby. But now in certain hospitals where the facilities are available, they are allowing what we call expressed breast milk. That means the mother can express her milk out, because we know that the transmission through breast milk is hardly anything. There is hardly any transmission.
I see.
So she can actually express the breast milk, and that then goes, you know, goes for the baby. But she cannot handle her baby because that's where the infection rate increases for the baby. In Western countries, they're allowed to breastfeed their babies, but it's very strict. You need to wear a mask, you need to wear a visor, there is a 6 feet distance otherwise. So there are a lot of other criteria that actually come in.
Okay, so you don't have to chuck the milk out anymore, the 14 days. Yes. You can actually express
again,
and still feed.
It all depends on where you're delivering, what the pediatrician is happy with. So it is still an internal discussion.
Okay, we'll come back and find out more what happens if you are in labour. I mean, you've already spoken about that. And if you are COVID positive, what happens? What happens if, you know, when you're breastfeeding and you can't come in contact with your child? What has that experience been like for you and some of your patients, Dr. Premita? Allergies, let's talk about allergies when we come back after this. Mothers who have allergies, which that contraindicate the vaccine that is approved for her. As you said, we've only got one at the moment. If you are pregnant, which is Pfizer, what happens then? That's coming up next. If you have a question, once again, give us a call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. Dr. Premita Damodaran, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. In our Health and Living segment, we are discussing which COVID-19 vaccine is safe for pregnant and breastfeeding women. Well, let me just quickly go through the guidelines in the country at the moment, which was announced by the JKJAV. Pfizer is recommended for those who are pregnant and breastfeeding. For the moment, AstraZeneca only for those breastfeeding. And Sinovac, not recommended at the moment, but Dr. Premita is pretty positive that will change with time.
I'm hoping.
We'll wait for that announcement because as we said earlier, there's so much developments coming through every day because the vaccine is being administered to millions around the world. And it's interesting that when we were talking about a couple of months ago about pregnant women getting vaccinated, the lady from the UK said that, you know, the largest, because they never trial new medicines or vaccines on pregnant women. But the biggest trial that happened was in the US because they had millions of women, pregnant women who got vaccinated. And if you're talking about, you know, whether it's tried and tested, it was. And it's been done all over the world, really. Dr. Premita, what happens if you're a pregnant mother, you have allergies? And we do know we have to declare these allergies when we get vaccinated, right? So what's your advice to your patients?
Well, the allergies that we are looking at for the, you know, which we are worried about with vaccines are actually very, very serious allergies, not the ones that you would normally get. So you have a penicillin allergy, so you have allergies to painkillers. No big deal. You have dust allergies, you're lactose intolerant. It doesn't mean anything at all. So these are simple day-to-day allergies which you are very safe taking the vaccine. The allergies that we are looking at are allergies to the products such as polyethylene glycol, polysorbate. These are the ones that are there in the Pfizer vaccine, in the AZ vaccine. And these allergies are not common at all. Now, these additive products, so how does it work? So you have Pfizer, which is the messenger RNA, the mRNA vaccine, vaccine. So this mRNA, when it is then transferred, it basically has to be stable. So you just cannot put an mRNA into you. So it is coated with a bubble, and that bubble is the polyethylene glycol. So it makes that whole mRNA more stable. So, but this PEG, which is what everyone talks about as allergies, to be very honest, is found in our daily household products. So even with wet wipes, even with your face creams, even with your lipstick. So if you are not allergic to any one of those things, you are safe. So don't worry about it.
Okay.
And
Well, they ask us, Dr. Premita, yeah. So we just assume.
I know. So it is actually, you know, those kind of real bad allergies where your face swells up and you cannot breathe. And, you know, not that it doesn't happen, it happens to, you know, any one of us can get an allergic to any simple thing. But those are the extreme allergies that we are worried about. But it does not happen often at all. So it's good to know. And then we sort of filter it and we know what to look out for. And the one that comes with AZ is the polysorbate. Now, if you've had a flu vaccine, the flu vaccine is full of it. So if you've had a flu vaccine and you've been quite safe with the flu vaccine, you will be absolutely safe with the AZ. So nothing to worry about. So you know what? Don't, you know, allergies is for us to know. And I think it's good for the healthcare personnel who's dealing with the vaccine to know about your individual allergies. Good to note it down. And then we will filter and we know what to do.
Okay. And so once vaccinated, can the antibodies created by, you know, in your system, can that pass through the placenta and through the breast milk to the baby?
Yeah. So initially, when the studies came out, we were told that when we give the mother the vaccine, it does not actually go through the placenta to the baby, all right? So the vaccine was for the mother. Like what when we do the Tdap vaccine, which is given in the third part of the pregnancy, which is preventing tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, we know that when the mother gets that vaccine, when the baby is born, the baby will carry those antibodies, and that helps protect that baby for the first 3 months of his or her life. But with the COVID vaccine, we know that that's not possible because it does not go through the placenta into the umbilical cord, into the baby. But recently, there have been studies that has shown that there is a small transfer into the umbilical cord blood. Now comes the question, whatever transfer of antibodies there is it sufficient to protect that baby? It's still a big question mark. So, you know, more data to come. You call me in 6 months later, maybe I can fill you in on that. But again, we have to wait for more data to come in.
Okay, I find that quite interesting because you confidently said there's a 1 in 50 chance of the virus being transmitted from mummy to baby during pregnancy. Why is it then the antibodies, why is it the baby is then not shielded from these antibodies? I mean, antibodies are a good thing, but how does it then get through to the baby?
Well, I think it also depends on when that mother had her vaccine. And, you know, how she metabolizes vaccines. Because, you know, when we give someone, oh, I'm giving you vaccine A. I mean, that's not for AZ, but I'm just generally talking about vaccine A. And you are going to get 80% protected. It doesn't mean that you will get 80% protected because it's still a range. You may only get 60% protected or you may get 90% protected. So if you are 60% protected, then how much actually goes into the placenta, into the umbilical cord, into the baby? We don't know. So again, you know, as I said, these are vaccines that have just come out. We are still learning more about it. We now know, we can confidently tell you that the babies are almost safe. We are hoping to come up with data that there would be some protection, but I think we are not confident enough to tell you that at this stage. We need the babies to be born first and then we check it out and see what happens.
Okay. What is the window for the vaccines to be administered to the pregnant women? I mean, in the past, it was 14 to 33 weeks was bandied around. Is that still the same?
Yes. Because generally, we don't like to give vaccines in the first trimester. So that's a bit of a golden rule, you know. So it's always in the second trimester. So that's why they've come up with 14 weeks to start vaccination. And why 33 is because we have been dealing with Pfizer. So we are dealing with Pfizer. The second dose comes in at 3 weeks later. So you would finish it at 36 weeks. So that's why this magic 14 to 33 weeks, which is just more logistics rather than anything scientific to the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, so that's why 14 to 33 weeks. But let's say, you know, you get your vaccine at 33 and you go into early labor at 35, 36, no big deal. you finish your delivery, you can still get your second dose during breastfeeding. So it's fine.
Okay. What if you have been vaccinated and then you get pregnant between the first and the second dose?
Congratulations. I mean, you know what? You're already starting off your pregnancy in a much better health condition, especially with the pandemic around. So it doesn't matter which vaccine. So you might have had the Pfizer, you might have had the AZ, or, you know, you might be getting the Sinovac. But whatever vaccine that you have had, that's still going to give you that protection. Now comes the question of whether you repeat that vaccine in that pregnancy. So that becomes a question that would, you know, would be a talk between you and the obstetrician. So let's say that this lady is, she's got a vaccine A, and then she gets to know she's pregnant 2 weeks later, and she's due for her next vaccine in another 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks. Now, her obstetrician might say, okay, you've got the Pfizer window is up to about 3 months. You might want to take your next dose when you're 14 weeks. You know, it's a discussion now between the obstetrician and the patient.
Okay.
Let's say she's had the AZ. We don't give it to her in pregnancy. But we can always tell her, look, good, you've had something. You're starting off at a much better place. Because with the AZ, we know that even with the first dose, you can be protected up to 80%.
Yeah. And yeah, correct. But then, you know, Dr. Premita, being the parent, my paranoid self, I'm trying to imagine myself pregnant. I'm trying to imagine myself vaccinated with AZ and then finding out that I was pregnant. And then I'll be going all paranoia because AZ is not recommended for pregnant women.
No. I said it's only because of that, you know, that clotting issue with
the four in a million.
No idea how the connection is. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of women around the world, while in pregnancy, have been vaccinated with AZ. So it's not that you cannot be vaccinated. But when you're pregnant, we tend to sort of err on the side of safety and be extra, extra, extra careful. So that's the only thing.
Okay, so you just want to monitor, right? So just very quickly, can you calm me down? I mean, we always worry about blood clots, right? I mean, of course, this 4 in a million, I think this statistic will stay with me throughout the pandemic, honestly, because 4 in a million is a lot in my mind, right?
But in my mind, your risk of clots with COVID is 16.5%.
Because of COVID, yes, of course, if you are positive. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think what I wanted to ask you is, when should we be, you know, we're given all, you know, I was made to watch a video about the signs and symptoms and when you should get to the hospital after getting vaccinated, right? So when, and then you go home and then you worry because the headache starts to come on and then the fever comes on and then you imagine that you need to throw up and it just keeps going on and on. But when what is the window that we should be concerned about?
Well, the window is actually 5 to 30 days. So immediate post-vaccination symptoms are actually very, very common. I mean, it's just like your flu vaccine. You get your flu vaccine, your arm hurts, you get a bit of a mild fever, you're feeling down, you're feeling tired. But if I say that I didn't give you the flu vaccine, I actually gave you the AZ shot. Now, everyone's mind just blows up because now I've told you it's the AZ shot. It shouldn't be like that. So, you know, it's been quite amusing because I know in my hospital and some of my doctors have been talking about it that, you know, men and women have come straight from getting vaccinated with AZ straight to the emergency department saying that they're having a headache. So now, you know, please don't. If there is any vaccine-related problems, it would be after 4 to 5 days. So in the initial phase of having that headache, that little bit of nausea, vomiting, feeling down, it might be just a panic attack that's also building up in your head. Just take 2 Panadols, you know, just go to sleep, calm yourself down and don't worry about it.
Okay, 5 days.
But if that for some reason, after 4 to 5 days, that headache is persistent and it's not going away. It's not allowing you to lie down or to turn around. You are also feeling a bit of shortness of breath. You are having some blurring of vision. You are having persistent vomiting. It's going on all the time. your legs are swollen, worth coming in for a checkup. It may or may not be, but good to come in for a checkup and let the doctors then decide what is actually going on.
Okay, and but clots can be treated, Dr. Premita. I think that's something we all forget, right? You just assume you have a clot, that means, you know, that's it. It's the end, you know.
Clots can happen to any one of us for any simple reason. You take a long transatlantic flight in an economy seat, 12 hours in the plane, you can get a clot. Okay? You are a chronic smoker, you can get a clot. So there are lots of other reasons why you can actually get a clot. Now, when this whole AZ-related tiny, tiny risk, and I'm going to still say it's a tiny risk, of clots came about, in the initial phase, many did not know about it. So that's why the risk of dying from it was even up to 80%. But now we are smarter. So now we know what to look out for. We know what tests to do, how to advise our patients. So recognizing that has helped tremendously. And that has actually, in the last few months, brought down the risk of dying from it from 80% to about 20%. So, and as we go along, we'll get smarter about it. And that's how it actually works. So these clots can be treated. So nothing to worry about.
Okay. So 5 days onwards, that's when. Persistent symptoms, then, you want to go and check it out.
And don't go and do blood tests regularly. You know, let the doctors do blood tests because everyone's counting their platelets. I've had one of my patients calling me and saying, it's day 3 post-AZ. I've just done a routine blood test. This is what my platelets are. I said, but why? I wanted you to know what my baseline is all about, just in case I have problems, a few days later. I said, yeah, okay, let that happen, then I will do it. So I think just, calming ourselves down that let's just wait and see what happens.
Okay, we'll come back and find out what if you're on oral contraceptives related, and that seems to have some relationship with AZ. What if you are on fertility treatment? What if you generally are the sort who bleeds or even, you clot, you have clotting conditions? Should you get vaccinated or not? That's coming up next. Once again, if you have a question, give us a call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Premita Damodaran, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, talking to us about which COVID-19 vaccine is safe for pregnant and breastfeeding women. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's Health and Living. Dr. Premita Damodaran, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, on the line with me. We're discussing which COVID-19 vaccine is safe for pregnant and breastfeeding women. Very enlightening and consoling, Dr. Premita, I have to say. Now, although I imagine, if I were pregnant, I would not be as panicky as I was before. You spoke about a whole lot of these issues. Let's talk about vaccination concerns for other subgroup of women, Dr. Premita. Women who are on oral contraceptives, do they have to get off the oral contraceptive before they get vaccinated, for an example?
My answer to that is I don't know. Because, to be very honest, the whole clotting issue with, we're talking about AZ, it's not the Pfizer or the Sinovac. The whole issue with AZ is this big blood clot. So this blood clot has become a huge blood clot in front of all of us. But we do know now that this blood clot that is AZ related and how it actually causes that blood clot is totally different from how one would get a blood clot through fertility drugs or through oral contraceptives or by being a smoker. So it is actually totally different because with the AZ, we find that the pathway is very different. But what we do not know, and again, as I said, call me back in 6 months. So what we don't know is the fact that our women who are already on oral contraceptives, would that increase their risk? We don't know that. We don't think so. We don't know. So because of that, it's so difficult to answer the 100 calls that come to my clinic or the emails that come to me because, if I were to err on the side of safety, I will say, don't take the vaccine. But to be very honest, we are in a pandemic. The risk of that clot is so, so low. the risk of you having COVID and having problems with it and entering hospital is so much higher. So it's all that balancing that we have to do in our head. So I think that is what is the most important thing to do for women who are worried. Get in touch with their doctors, because their doctors would know more about their own history, because we're only looking at clots, right? They might have other problems or other health effects that might make them be a good candidate for the vaccine or a bad candidate. So consult your doctors and then let together come in with a decision on whether to take it or not. Because at the moment, honestly, we will say, you know, if we want to try and save the world, we will say, please take it. But of course, this issue of clots is, as I said, it's a huge clot in front of all our eyes that is sort of skewing out the way we think.
It's four clots, you know, coming together as one, Dr. Pramitha. And that one is against a million. It's a big one. Let's talk about, you know, protocols during delivery. Women, do women need to be tested? I mean, what happens? Because, or do you encourage planned C-sections given the condition that, you know, someone could be COVID positive, because many of us are asymptomatic at the same time?
So basically what happens is that, and I think this is a general rule in most of the hospitals, whether you're here or you're overseas, is the fact that by the time that you come to the time to deliver, by the time you come to term, you have already done your COVID test. Now, the sad thing is that whatever COVID test that you've done today may only have a validity of a week. So after a week, you may have to do it again. So if you have continuous COVID tests, let's say I'm 37 weeks now and I can go into labor anytime. So you'll be starting to do your COVID test every week till the time of delivery. In case you come in as an emergency, then the COVID test can be done during that time at admission. But until the results are known, then everyone is suited and booted with PPEs so that, you know, to cut down the risk of transmission. Now, most hospitals are not allowing visitors. So it's only you and your partner. So both of you would be then COVID tested. And if both of you are negative, labor would go on as in any labor at any time. You know, if you are, you can deliver normally, you deliver normally. If you are trying for normal, but, you know, it is difficult and you end up with a C-section, that continues. But if you're a planned C-section, then it would be a planned C-section. So all that, there is no change. But if you are COVID positive in labor, or you have a partner who is at that point COVID positive, so we talk about first contact being COVID positive, then we know that you can become positive in the next few days. Then we treat you as a COVID positive, and which means that if you are in labor, it would be a straight C-section. And as I said just now, separation of mother and baby for that 10 days, breastfeeding techniques would be depending on what the pediatrician and the obstetrician in that hospital is comfortable with. So there's a lot of separation. There is, you know, the fact that you're missing your baby, bonding, all the other, you know, issues come in, which can be quite sad and daunting, because it's supposed to be a happy time, isn't it, to have a baby?
Yeah.
And here you're not seeing a baby for 10 to 14 days, which can be very, very sad.
And nobody can see you either. Right.
Yep, exactly. So, except the doctor in the PPE suit.
No fun at all. Finally, Dr. Pramitha, how would you reassure women who are pregnant or breastfeeding to get vaccinated?
No, I think vaccination is the key. I mean, we're all quite sick of the pandemic. We need to get out of here. And we know that vaccination is the key. But let's not forget that besides vaccination, we also need to look after ourselves. We should be wearing our mask, and you're not vaccinated, as they say now, to double mask. We should be having social distancing wherever we go. We should be sanitizing ourselves. It is very, very important that let's just not think of vaccination being the only key to help us get out of this COVID pandemic. Vaccination, very important. Don't be scared about vaccinating yourself. If you're pregnant, you are actually doing more good to your baby if you're being vaccinated, because we know that in pregnancy, your chance of moving categories is much higher. Your chance of going from category 2 to 4 is so much higher. And as you go on in pregnancy, your chance of being ventilated if you have COVID is much higher. The chance of a premature delivery is much higher. So be vaccinated, ladies, because you want to save yourself. And by saving yourself, you're actually saving your baby.
Okay, I'm a lot more confident that I can get pregnant now, Dr. Pramitha.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Pramitha Damodaran, consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, speaking to us about COVID-19 vaccines, whether or not it's safe for pregnant and breastfeeding women, on Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.